Welcome to North Star Physical Therapy Podcast. I'm Dr. Shirley North, and with over a decade of clinical expertise in the areas of pelvic floor conditions, lymphatic conditions, and chronic neurological diseases, I have a wealth of medical knowledge that I want to share with you all. In this podcast, I will answer the most common questions I receive from clients, family members, and fellow clinicians. Our purpose is not only to answer questions, but to educate you so you can make the best decision for your optimal health. This podcast is perfect to listen on your way home from work, while you're on your daily walk, or just taking 15 to 20 minutes for yourself. Again, welcome to North Star Physical Therapy Podcast, and get ready for us to guide you to optimal health. Hey everyone, Dr. Shirley North here again. In this episode, we are going to be talking about your pelvic floor muscles and how everyone has them. So whether you were born with genitalia associated with men or with women, biologically speaking, we are saying everybody has a pelvic floor. So this is not a podcast to get into sexual orientation or you're identifying. This is purely what is going on in that area, musculoskeletally, and that everyone has one, okay? And that you're not alone when there's any difficulties that arise, and that there are pelvic floor physical therapists that can help you. So, first, pelvic floor muscles. Where are they located? Right. So they are a bowl of muscles that are located within the pelvic bone region. And your pelvic bones, they actually comprise of three different bones: on the ilium, which are like the kind of the big wings that what we think about when we see that skeleton with the wings on their side. Those also come down, and they have that relation with the femur bone right around there is called the ischium. And then the front muscle, or the front part of that bone, has those big holes, and they connect together with a really, really strong piece of cartilage, and that's your pubic bone. So those three bones actually fuse together to create your pelvic bones. And that is where the inner lining of that bone bowl are your pelvic floor muscles. And that's the most interior part of the muscles. There are also exterior muscles. And so that's what we think of when we are seeing the structural difference between those with male versus female genitalia. So externally, there are muscles. And for those born with a penis, that one muscle group turns into the shaft and the penis, whereas in those that are born with female genitalia, that becomes more of the vulva. So there are the same muscle. They do have two different names depending on what genitalia you have, but the idea is that they're the same muscle group. They just were shaped into different things depending on what hormone was introduced in utero. So we want to just press upon that there are similarities, and how we engage that muscle group is going to be a slightly different contraction or different action, but not much, right? That's still a layer muscle group that needs to be looked at when we're assessing the pelvic floor. So there are external muscles, okay, that we can palpate from the outside, see if there's any tension, or if there's any sensory, you know, issue there. And then the second layer of the pelvic floor region is more what we call fascia, or like connective tissue. The pelvic floor muscles, they really do a lot of supporting of the internal organs there. And so they need to make sure they have a really good firm connective tissue to kind of tie things together. So that's the second layer. And the third layer, the most internal layer, are the labrador adenoid muscles. And so that's what pelvic floor therapists are able to palpate with the internal assessment. So for those that are born with female genitalia, we're able to access this either vaginally or rectally, okay? in those that are born with male genitalia, this is excess rectally. So these are muscle groups that, yes, do need to be assessed of how strong they are, how well coordinated they are, as well as their endurance. How long can they be, you know, turned on? And so those muscle groups, everyone has them and they need to be assessed. So I'm talking to you, individuals that are born with male genitalia are often think that this is just a female problem. Well, guess what? It's not. You have a pelvic floor and you need to be able to use it as well. And to that be a different podcast. But here, we're going to talk about the pelvic floor region and that there are similarities between the genders there. And so that was talking about just the muscles themselves, right? But also in this area, there are glands, right, that help produce either like oil or lubrication. There are sensory receptors, so especially for sensitive areas like on the glans penis or the clitoris, which is more than just that little external button there. It also, the clitoris is a huge sensory organ that actually now there is research to support the true anatomy of it is also internally. So it's an external and internal, and it's actually very big in the in those with a female anatomy. In this area, there is, speaking of nerves, there are other nerve supplies. So not just the sensation nerves, but also for like muscular activation, that comes from what we call the pudendal nerve. And that is, yes, in all humans, okay? That's not just in the female bodies, also in the male body, because the pudendal nerve comes from the last part of this sacral nerve supply. So when you think of the spine, right, we all have, you know, for those that have had back issues, neck issues, or some radicular, you know, nerve pain issues, you often are throwing out a letter and a number like, oh, C7, L4, and kind of sounds like a bingo game a little bit. But yes, there are cervical nerves up top. There are thoracic nerves in the middle of your spine. There are lumbar nerves. And there are, yes, nerves that come out of the sacrum. So if you ever see a bony skeleton and at the back part, there is that triangular bone that's in the middle between those pelvic bones that we talked about earlier, that is your sacrum. And there are five nerves that come out on either side of it. That's why they have those little holes there. So they come out, and the last two to three of those nerves, so S for sacrum, 3, 4, and 5, are all associated with pelvic floor function. So if there's any kind of entrapment or impingement of the S3, 4, or 5 nerve root, now we're looking at, is there a muscle that's cramping down on that nerve? Is there a true nerve injury? Is there nerve conduction problems? So these are things that we're kind of screening out during our pelvic floor assessment. And again, that's on anybody, okay? There are arteries that supply this area. There are veins that help bring that deoxygenated blood back up into the system. There are lymph nodes. So yes, you can get swelling in this area. It's a very tight area, so it doesn't take much to have any swelling here. But there are lymph nodes and lymphatic vessels that are involved if there's any surgery in this area. And so, again, that can be on anybody, okay? Or if there are, like, let's just say there is a hysterectomy, for example, and that gets removed with potential, like, maybe a lymph node or some fascia got removed there, that definitely changes things. If someone had a prostatectomy, so they removed the prostate, and let's say they get subsequent chemo radiation, those lymph nodes are definitely affected. They were either removed or they were radiated. And so they're not functioning the way they should be. And now we might be having the swelling in this area because the lymph nodes are either structurally changed or they're just not functioning the same way. So yes, all bodies have lymph nodes in that area. And then here's another one, internal organs. Everybody has a bladder, okay? Everybody has a bowel, like a rectum, okay? But yes, not everybody has a vagina and a uterus and ovaries, and not everybody has a prostate, right? So that's maybe the only difference there is internally what's going on, but there are still organs there that we have to keep in mind that if we're having anybody with any pelvic pain, gosh, I'm looking at not only the muscle there, but I'm looking at, hey, okay, were they able to sense my touch when I was palpating? So is there a nerve issue? How is their arteries and veins? Is there any like kind of congestion in that area from the lymph nodes? So things like that that we're considering as practitioners. All right. So during that external internal assessment, you know, again, not only just having the different access points to between the body, you know, that we're looking at, but what are we assessing externally versus internally? And we want to make sure that taking a step back and looking at the bigger muscle groups that are attached to that area. So as we explained earlier, this area is in the very core of you, is the very middle of you. You see how your leg muscles, they attach at that hip and pelvic region. Your back muscles in the back attach on the back part of your pelvis. The abdominal muscles attach to the front part of your pelvis. So these bigger muscle groups that we're seeing, are they creating a different tension in that pelvic floor muscle? Because when they're attached to the pelvis, and let's say those glutes, right? The gluteal muscles in the back, they attach in the back. However, if one muscle group is not working in the same capacity as the other side, well, then that pelvic floor muscle is now being either oriented or having a different tension or a different pull, and therefore it can't work properly. So we're looking at how the bigger muscle groups, if they're creating any imbalance, or is it really an imbalance from the inside out, right? Chicken and the egg. Is it the inside going out or is it the outside going in? So we're looking at the relation also when we are breathing, our diaphragm up top and our rib muscles and our abdominal muscles and our back muscles and our pelvic floor muscles, they all change when we're either inhaling or exhaling. So we're looking at how are those four muscle groups within the core, how are they working? We are looking at the posture. So if your posture is as such that creates a different tension at the pelvic floor muscle group, and that can be on a male body or a female body. So it does not matter. Everybody has a body. Everybody has a comfortable posture position. And therefore, it can create a different tension within other muscle groups. So when we're looking at pelvic floor, if your pelvis is situated, you know, where it's positioned rolled back versus rolled forward, you can appreciate how those different muscle groups are turned on. So, for example, if you're just sitting there right now, right, you're listening to my podcast here, on your way to work or your way home, you're sitting in your car here. You know, I say go ahead and try to like slouch down, you know, kind of tilt your pelvis back a little bit. Now you're sitting more on your tailbone there. You know, and then look at how that positions your belly. You know, maybe kind of pooch down a little bit more. You're more rounded in the shoulders. Now do the opposite. Now roll forward and kind of slightly arch your back. Look what happens at your belly muscle. It elongated. It stretched out a little bit. My chest is now open. And so just by changing how your pelvis is oriented, that changes in how these bigger muscle groups can turn on. And then also the tension of the muscle floor of the pelvis, you know, how those pelvic floor muscles are oriented when you're tilted back versus forward. So all these things we're looking at as a pelvic floor therapist, no matter what genitalia might be present, does not matter. Everybody has a pelvic floor and needs to be able to work on it. And with that being said, we also are asking different, you know, functional mobility tasks, lifting, carrying, going from sit to stand. These really simple tasks require different muscle groups to turn on and off. And in a, you know, coordinated way, we're also seeing how is the pelvic floor being changed if there are imbalances elsewhere. And so we want to just really press upon yet everyone, male or female or otherwise, how you're oriented sexually. We are looking at the pure biologic anatomy, that what is happening at the muscle level itself. We want to respect other things involved in that pelvic floor area, like arteries, veins, lymph nodes, glands, sensory receptors, you know, internal organs. So oftentimes I might have to think about outside the box of, muscular skeletally, everything's working okay, but we're still having this symptom. It may not be the muscle. I might need to refer out, right? And so we are looking at all of those things, no matter if you have a penis or a vagina, okay, does not matter. We want to press at everyone has a pelvic floor. Everyone has muscles in that area. And it deserves to have a comprehensive approach of not only knowing other organs and things in the area, but then also and that comprehensive approach of a physical therapist that specializes in the pelvic floor to look at those bigger picture and the bigger structures and the bigger area of posture and mobility to really see how your pelvic floor muscles internally and externally are working the way they should for your optimal health. So, take home point, pelvic floor muscles, everyone has them and everybody deserves to have a good comprehensive assessment by a pelvic floor therapist. So get out there, share that word that everyone has a pelvic floor. You don't have to be a postpartum young mom, okay? Everyone has one. Everyone deserves a comprehensive assessment and treatment. If you have any difficulties in that area, please don't be shy to mention that to your practitioner or be an advocate for yourself and find a pelvic floor therapist in your area just to get assessed. I think it's a great preventative measure, and you never know unless you ask, right? So I impart that on you guys, and until next time. Thank you all so much for listening to North Star Physical Therapy Podcast. Continue to follow me on Facebook or Instagram at Dr. Shirley North. Check out my website at www.northstardpt.com. Or I encourage you to email me any other questions about these topics, and it can be featured on a future podcast at snorth@northstardpt.com. Again, thank you all so much. And thank you for letting North Star Physical Therapy be your guiding light to your optimal health.